Good afternoon, brethren. I'd like to welcome all our listeners and viewers by way of cybercast. For those that are listening, you may hear a few little giggles or chuckles in the background, but I'm wearing a tie around my head, and on my left hand I have a shoe, which we will get to the point of all this. I would like to ask each and every one of you today, no matter how old you may be, male or female, what part do you play in God's church? What part do you play in God's church? If we all turn to Romans 12:4, that's where I would like to begin this morning. I'm used to morning, excuse me, afternoon. So I'd like everyone to turn their Bibles, whichever version you may have, to Romans 12, verse 4. And I'm going to use three Bibles this morning over these verses. Romans 12, verse 4. The first Bible I will read from is the Living Bible, and it states, and I quote, "Just as there are many parts to our bodies, so it is with Christ's body. We are all parts of it, and it takes every one of us to make it complete. For we each have different works to do. So we belong to each other, and each needs all the others." That's the Living Bible. We move on to today's English version, and it states, "We have many parts in the one body, and all these parts have different functions. In the same way, though we are many, we are one body in union with Christ, and we all join to each other as different parts of one body." And then as I move on to the Amplified Bible, Romans 12, again, 4 and 5, it states, "For as we in one physical body, we have many parts, and all these parts do not have the same function or use. So we, numerous as we are one body in Christ the Messiah, and individually we are parts of one of another, mutually dependent on one another." Brethren, have you ever had the thought of what part, as I mentioned, you are in the body of Christ? Well, I like to begin with what I classify A, B, and C. See, you can't see my fingers right now, but I'm holding them up. A is every part of the body has a special function and important purpose. B, we should be thankful for what we are and what God's purpose is for us. And C is sometimes we do not know our purpose at first. This can be illustrated by the tie around my head. Okay, a tie should be, a gentleman's tie, of course, should be around his neck. But the tie today thinks it's better around my neck, which is kind of foolish. As my athletic shoe on my foot thinks it should be on my hand, when actually its purpose would be much better suited for me and everyone else who has an athletic shoe on my foot. It would do a better purpose in that area. See, every part, as I mentioned, of the body has a special function and an importance. Back home in Indiana, I have a fellow brethren, a Mrs. Ethel Landis, 88 years old. Now, Ethel cannot get to church every Sabbath, unfortunately, because of her illness. Sometimes she listens in by way of telephone, if we can get to her, and sometimes she only can listen by tape. But Ethel's part in the Church of God is very important. What part does she play right now? Ethel prays every day for everyone that she knows, young and old, whatever your illness, whatever stress you may be going through within your life. Ethel writes at least 100 cards and letters per month, even though she has arthritis. That's her purpose. That gives her joy. That shows an outgoing giving love, as we're taught in God's Word. We have a young gentleman here, which I know through my daughter Tina and my son-in-law CJ, Joel Robinson, who's a worker. I hear that he steps forward when there's a duty to do. B, as I mentioned, we should be thankful for what we are and what God's purpose is for us. Back home again, we have another elderly couple, Bill and Darlene Ennis. Bill and Darlene are in their late 60s, but Bill and Darlene are there early every Sabbath. In fact, they come in right behind me, and they're setting up, or they're checking, or they're doing something. And they're usually the last to leave, cleaning up. This is what they can do. Darlene has a heart condition. Bill has numerous health problems. But at times I have to actually tell Bill and Darlene, slow down. Slow down. That's zealous. That's enthusiasm. Here we have another couple, which I happen to know personally, and that is Brett and Barb Wills. And we met them last year. I forgot where exactly now. But we became good friends, learning the brother within the church. And they're going to Italy with us this year. And they're going to have a great time because they're going to set right in with Italian brethren. We all work doing something. You know, even it may not be the right thing, but we try and get it done anyway. C was, sometimes we do not know what our purpose is. And I know how that is also, brethren. When God first called my wife and I many years ago, we didn't know what to do. And one Sabbath day, I went up to the pastor and I said to the pastor, what can we do to assist? I mean, we feel like we're not doing anything in God's church. He says, well, if you feel like you need to do something, he said, go ask someone who's in charge of an area. And so we asked and we began as greeters to greet people, to get to learn the brethren within the church. And then about a year later, maybe 2 years later, not only were we greeters, but I had all my children doing something because they wanted to do it, by the way, not as a father forcing them. But sometimes I had to give Tina a little nudge here and there. But they all are good workers within the church, stepping forward. Because we felt we wanted to participate. And one thing we learned from this, brethren, in the very beginning, that we began to learn our local brethren and who they were, not by name, but who they are and how they are and what character they are and where their needs are. We began to learn our national brethren as they visited. You know, when Mr. and Mrs. Luker first came to Lafayette, okay, I knew Mr. and Mrs. Luker by name. I know their picture, but who are they? A name and a picture. But then I got to meet them. I got to talk to them. And we've developed a relationship because of many aspects within the church. Then we go to the feast, and we get to meet our international brethren. And for the very first time, when we went internationally, and our family in the year 2000 went to Italy for the very first time, we went international. And as I mentioned, we did go to Italy. I'm of Italian heritage, and so is my wife. Well, that's all it took for us to meet Carmelo, Antonella, Angelo, Anna Maria, and all 65 of the brethren in the entire country of Italy. And we thought in a few days that we knew them for years. But we only knew them for a few days. But we developed a bond, a braising, a uniting with our fellow brethren. And we get to correspond because of modern technology to keep in touch and know who they are and what their needs are and what we can pray for within their lives. We all have a part in God's church, no matter what part of the family, no matter what age you may be. And I'm looking around for some young little ones. I know we have them in this church, but they must be too short for me to see because I'm short and I can't see over other people. But What I'm getting to, brethren, is we should not want to be something else in our lives, but we should want to be the best that we can in our lives to serve God. And this morning I have seven simple points for all of us to review. The first point is have a plan and stay focused on the plan. Why? Why should we have a plan? Because God tells us to have a plan. And if we move into 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 6, I would like to read. Again, it's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 6. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit gives them. There are different ways of serving, but the same Lord is served. There are different abilities to perform service, but the same God gives the ability to all for their particular service. That's very important. Have a plan, stay focused. Number two, write down your plan. It's good to have a plan, but sometimes we forget. When you get to be my age, I forget things once in a while. That's why they have iPads now, to remember for old people like me. Now, Joe out here, Joe I know for many years, he was my assistant at camp one year back in Wisconsin. Joe has a sharp mind. In fact, well, we won't go into a few things about Joe, but he's a great young man, and I'm happy to hear he's going to chiropractic college. That's great, too. Number two. Write down your plan. Keep it simple but achievable. That's important. When I was younger, I used to write marvelous outlines, but they were too extensive. Keep it simple in a short period of time, something that you can truly achieve, no matter what age you may be again. It's important to think whether you are 15, whether you are 35, whether you are 85, you can still achieve as long as you focus yourself, as I mentioned. There is no one in this room, no matter what age you may be, that cannot set down a plan and focus on it. Because there is still a master plan going on. God is still developing it. And if He can develop a plan, we can develop a plan. Remember, the marathon is not run in a day or two or three. It takes time to develop. Now, if anyone has looked at my son-in-law, CJ, when he first married my daughter, Tina, CJ was a little smaller as far as physical size. He was thin, and the last time they were out to visit, I looked at CJ, and not for a shaved head either, okay? I looked at CJ, and I said, CJ, you look different. He said, I do? I said, yeah, you've bulked up. He said, yeah, I did, didn't I, you know? No, I didn't bulk up at all. I said, yeah, you did, CJ. And CJ got into a physical program to develop his physical body. Well, that's great. That's good for every one of us to stay physically healthy. But it is more important to stay spiritually healthy, because that is an everlasting health, a spiritual health. Number three is to read your plan. You may read it three or four times a day. You may read it 30 times a day. But it is important to read your plan. Review in your mind. Number four is to work your plan. Make a notation of your small achievements or large achievements and keep moving forward. God tells us in His Word again, and we can go in 1 Corinthians, we're still in chapter 12, but we're moving now to verses 10 through 7. And it says, the Spirit presents is shown in some ways in each of us for all to have good. The Spirit gives one person a message full of wisdom, while another person, the same Spirit, gives a message full of knowledge. One and the same Spirit gives faith to one person, while to another person, He gives the power to heal. The Spirit gives one person the power to work miracles, to another the gift of speaking God's message, and to yet another the ability to tell the differences between gifts and that that comes from the Spirit and those that do not. Number five, as we're taking in what I'm telling you on these points, is one of the strongest points, brethren, and don't ever forget this point. It is to review it with your Father and brother in heaven. What I'm saying is pray. Each of us have that channel. No matter where we are, no matter what time of day it may be, we can pray to God the Father through Jesus Christ. It can be a 15-second prayer. It can be a 15-minute prayer. But it is an open channel. As I have been blessed with my wife, with a family of 5 children, I do not know what my children need all the time unless they come to me and my wife as one. I didn't know that you needed money to go to the prom. I didn't know you needed a prom dress. By the way, we have 4 daughters and 1 son, so I'm using dresses first. Carmen doesn't wear a dress. Right, Carmen? Thank you. All right. Just checking. But we don't know these things as parents unless our children comes to us. Sure, there are times in their lives, because of our experience, what we have gone through, what God has opened our minds to, we can see some of the trials and challenges our children are going through. We can pray for them and wait for them to ask. And once they ask, what do we do as parents? For those of you who have children, we step forward, don't we? We do everything within our power to assist our children over that trial or challenge. Why? Why? Because we love them, which is the foundation of all God's work, is outgoing giving love. Number 6, be flexible to the master plan. As I mentioned before, God has a master plan that is constantly changing, constantly moving forward in a positive direction. And again, I'm going back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 and 14. It says, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we all are baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slave or free, and have all that have been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many." But many. The last point, number 7, give thanks for God's trials and challenges within your life. I know it's not easy. We've all had trials and challenges. We've been on our knees at times and cried out for God and asked Him for His intervention within our lives. At times we don't know why we're going through some of those trials. But remember, if God puts a trial in front of you, it is iron sharpening iron. He's trying to refine you. He's trying to help you move forward within your life and recognize some weaknesses where you can gain strength. Sometimes we may not realize some of our weaknesses, but the person next to us does. And he will come or she will come to us and help us in one way or another. And again, it doesn't matter if it's a 20-year-old coming to a 50-year-old or a 50-year-old going to a 20-year-old. If you go in God's love to help that individual, don't be afraid to express yourself in a giving manner. God tells us, and one last scripture I will use, in Romans 12, 6 through 11, God has given each of us the ability to do certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, then prophesy whenever you can as often as your faith is strong enough to receive the message from God. If your gift is that of serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, do a good job of teaching. If you are a preacher, see to it that your sermons are strong and helpful. God has given you money. Be generous in helping others with it. If God has given you administrative abilities and put you in charge, then use those abilities. Take the responsibility seriously. Those who offer comfort to the sorrowful should do so with Christian cheer. Don't just pretend that you love others, really love them. Hate what is wrong. Stand on the side of good. Love each other with brotherly affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy in your work, but serve the Lord enthusiastically. Brethren, we, on an individual basis, are an intricate part of one another, if you have not realized that. We need to run like a 21-jewel switch watch, smoothly, timelessly. What part do you play in God's church? Please ask yourself that. Again, what part do you play in God's church? I would like to leave everyone with five simple words that I hope you remember always, always. Five simple words. So if you do not have a pencil or pen or pad, please get one out. Because I want you to write this down, I want you to remember this and say it over and over to yourself. Because it exemplifies God's way, it's five simple words. And I did not come up with this. My children came up with this. So it's five simple words. Five children, five simple words. Okay? Do you have your pen out, Laura? Okay. Making sure. Got to check up on them. Giving makes living more loving. Giving makes living more loving. Have a wonderful Sabbath.